Listeners, we have some exciting news to share with you. The whole Deeply Graphic Design team will be partnering with the Adobe MAX Creative Conference this October 18th through the 20th in Las Vegas, Nevada. Designers from all over the world come to Adobe MAX to rejuvenate their work, their process, and the creative journey. MAX is the perfect blend of information and inspiration, practical knowledge, and creative magic. Not only will we be there for live interviews and episodes, but the Adobe team has also arranged for a special discount for all of our DGDC listeners. Use the code 17PDPC, that's 17PDPC, to receive your discounted rate. Stay tuned for more information on future episodes, and we can't wait to see you at this year's Adobe MAX.
You're listening to the Deeply Graphic Design Cast, the show about all things design, from the creative side to the business side and all points in between. Follow the show on Twitter at Wes McDowell. Want the gang to answer your question on an upcoming episode? Send in your listener question to questions@thedeependesign.com or via Twitter using hashtag DGDC. Here are your hosts.
Wes McDowell in Chicago.
Mikhail Morrison in Seattle.
Nick Lago in Los Angeles.
All right. Thanks for being here with me again, guys. And thank you all for continuing to support the show and listen to us and give us those 5-star reviews. We love them ever so much. and telling a friend, too. We don't have any advertising budget. So tell a friend and keep nice. The circle of life going. What's new with you guys?
Oh, how's everybody doing? Are you guys as busy as I think you are?
Last time we talked
I think we were all kind of starting into that, felt like this,
yeah, before we hit record wave. I can't remember if you were on just then, Nick, but mm-hmm. I basically just disclosed to Wes I was almost to tears, like I don't know what to do with my I can't. But now things are feeling better.
Yeah.
Good. You look like you're handling things better today. Maybe that's
only
just
because
talking,
only because but... Las Vegas is near. Yeah,
I know. Las my Vegas. God. We're about a month away, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a little later on in the show, we're gonna talk a little bit about we've got Michael from Adobe on with us, so we're gonna talk about what's new in Adobe, and then we're gonna talk a little bit about the actual conference later, so you guys can get the skinny on what's happening, what you're likely to learn there, what we're gonna be doing there, all that good stuff. So stick around for that, and then the listener question, of course, after that. And we've got an audio one this time, so all is good.
It's the perfect storm.
It is, of information and questions and answers. So did you guys see the keynote about the iPhone 8?
I did. I watched it yesterday. And it was good. I saw a great thing beforehand where it said, we're no longer getting these big jumps in innovation. It's just like little incremental changes through the year. Yeah. And as cool as it was to watch, I was more impressed with the theater and the tribute to Steve Jobs at the beginning. And then I just was like, okay, cool. But I love my 7 Plus and I love my Watch 2. I'm good to go. I don't need any upgrades. How about you guys?
Well,
I'm a little upset now.
I haven't watched it yet, but I'm excited to. Jason was talking about it last night, and I only just got the notification from Apple, this morning. So what's up with the delay to me?
Wow, I know. Come on.
You're behind it.
I am.
Living up in the Pacific Northwoods. That might be part of it.
Technically, she's the closest, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
So
the iPhone X and iPhone 8.
And an 8.
Yeah.
Apparently,
we have skipped right over 9 to 10.
Yeah, which didn't Windows do that with their operating system? Someone mentioned yesterday. It was like, how ironic they keep copying Windows. And they even skip
I wouldn't know, Nick. I wouldn't know.
I know. Same here.
That's my best Apple snob voice.
Never owned one in my life. I know. But we'll see. I think it'll be interesting to see. I think the facial recognition thing is cool. But I love the animojis. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Where
that's
cool. That, to me, was like the coolest thing of the entire presentation. Everything else was like, I think also, too, the leaks are coming out before we know what's happening. There's never any surprises anymore. I think the last 2 or 3 years, We haven't been really shocked with anything. And I think that was the beauty of Apple's brand years ago, was you just, you didn't know until release day. And now we know.
Sure.
So, but it's still cool. And I had a few, two of my clients were actually at the event yesterday, and they were saying the campus and that theater are unlike anything they've ever seen as far as architecture and attention to detail and the craftsmanship. I mean, did you see that theater with that roof and like it's suspended by glass? I mean, it's like craziest thing I've ever seen.
No, I mean, to be honest, I didn't actually see the keynote. I just saw the kind of
the news.
I watched like a YouTube video just to kind of catch me up on the, I don't have like 2 hours to devote to it, but
I know I kind of blocked out. I blocked out my schedule and it was on in the background. I'm sorry.
I was actually on a plane when they were doing it, so I couldn't have seen it live.
Oh,
anyway.
There you go. All right.
But the only thing I'm kind of upset about is, of course, as soon as Wes gets the Apple Watch, they got the new one.
Well, that's going to happen inevitably. I know.
It can actually, like, it works on its own without the phone being paired with it. So
I know.
And I was kind of thinking, you know, Apple's made the world that the phone's with me all the time. There's such a limited time that I do want to put it away that I don't even want the watch. So I love that, like, the way they showed it was pretty interesting, where like, oh, now you get your phone without the phone if you're wearing the watch. And I get it, but I've always got my phone with me. So, and who knows what you don't even know what the rates are going to be like. Who knows if they're going to, you're going to have to get a whole other plan, I'm assuming.
Cellularly, sure.
Or it's shared.
I read something about $10 a month additional to your cell phone plan, but that's just something on Facebook. I don't know if it's true.
Keeps adding up. Oh. Keeps adding up.
Exactly.
Next thing you know.
If you want to save money somewhere.
Where can you do
that? And you want to learn something extra.
Where's that?
You're going to go. You're going to stop and start at Skillshare.com.
Yes.
Skillshare is amazing. We've talked about them a lot before. Just going through some of their courses right here, we've got Going Freelance, Building and Branding Your Own Success. That's one course for business-minded people. Logo Design with Draplin. So you know Aaron Draplin. He's a really famous logo designer. So he'll teach you his thought process. And something like Getting Started with Email Marketing. So you've got all these different kinds of courses, which are really going to teach you, you know, everything you need for success in the design world. So Skillshare is an online learning community with over 15,000 classes in graphic design, illustration, and more. You can learn everything from logo design to visual thinking to watercolor, if that's your thing. And the classes are perfect for the professional designer looking to either get a leg up at work or the freelancer who wants to attract more clients and build their brand. So Skillshare teachers include working designers with years of experience and AIGA award winners like Ellen Lupton, Debbie Millman, and the aforementioned Draplin. So and we have unlimited access to all this for a low monthly price. Never pay per class again. Per class is for suckers. So
subscription's the way to go, baby.
Exactly. Get more for your money. And I can personally attest to this. I've gone through several of their courses. Most are structured between an hour and a couple hours, just long enough to really learn it, but it's not going to hold you hostage all day either. So I can't say enough good things about them. So Skillshare is giving our listeners a month of unlimited access, absolutely free. So go to Skillshare.com/graphic to get your free month. Again, that's Skillshare.com/graphic.
All right. So one of the cool things about our new partnership with Adobe was bringing on someone who is really integral in the Creative Cloud process, everything new that's happening with it, and can help us just kind of navigate through a lot of the new things and the new features coming up with Creative Cloud. We've got guest Michael Chase from Adobe. Thanks for joining us, Michael.
Hey. Hey. Hi, everyone. Thanks for having
me. Thanks for coming.
So
thanks for being on with us.
Yeah, we're really glad to have you here, and not only to talk a little bit about Adobe Max afterwards, but to really talk about Creative Cloud and, you know, what our listeners can truly take advantage of that maybe they haven't touched yet or new things that are coming down the road. And this would be a perfect time to kind of explore all that and share with some good stuff that you might know that a lot of us don't.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm excited.
Cool.
Always happy to talk about Creative Cloud, so that's good.
What specifically is your role? And tell our listeners what you do there right off the bat with Adobe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So actually, I joined Adobe 11 years ago, but in Paris, because I'm sure that some people will guess that I'm French.
No.
Based on the weird sound coming from my mouth.
No.
What's happening with the microphone?
No, people with accents do really well on our show, trust me.
Oh, thanks. We have a long history with sexy accents.
We're a little envious.
Oh, it's great.
Okay, awesome. So I started in Paris. And quickly I started blogging, you know, about technologies and about creativity. And that's how the US team noticed me and asked me to join a team of evangelists. So it was in 2010, where basically you tour the world to make presentations about what's new, what's coming in Creative Cloud. And then I joined, I worked directly for the Creative Cloud team in San Francisco. I just moved to San Francisco like 3 weeks ago.
Wow. So it's
like
good for you.
Oh,
man.
Wow. Yeah. Hello, culture
so
shock.
You basically have the dream job of everybody listening right now.
And I guess now I work in the community team. So my mission is how to engage with the community, how to make sure that they understand what we're doing, answer all their questions. And one of my main projects is live streaming. So I'm running a show, which is Adobe Live. And I invite designers using Creative Cloud, and we answer all the questions from the community.
Oh, great.
So that's my job now. Yeah.
Very cool. Oh, did you work with the team from Farm Design a few weeks ago?
Yes. Yes. With Aaron and
Christine. Yeah.
And Christine.
Yeah, they come in and do a lot with my class. So, yeah, I just saw them on there, and I made the connection. That's cool. Very awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
So
awesome.
Tell us a little bit about one of the biggest parts of Adobe Max, and we'll talk about this in a minute, is the sneaks. And that's kind of this morning where they spend about 2 hours and they go over everything that's like just released. So I know you can't share a lot, but what could you tell us that to start looking for down the road? What are the themes?
We didn't sign an NDA.
Yeah, I know.
What are
the themes happening in Adobe Cloud that, you know, could really get our listeners excited about some new stuff coming down the road?
Yeah, because this is coming very fast. Adobe Max is where we announce all the stuff. And there are actually two big moments. So the first one is the keynote. So this is where we unveil what's new, what we're working on, what is the roadmap. And then there are the sneaks, which is something different, actually. But we can talk about it later.
Cool.
Because this is something crazy.
So
the keynote, we want to talk to all the creatives. So we try to explain what has changed, as a creative, what has changed in the industry, in the world, the impact of social on the creative, the impact of cloud technologies, mobile apps. And we try to explain how Creative Cloud is changing with this world just to bring solutions to designers. So it can be a photographer. You will see a lot of announcements for our photographers, especially how we can leverage cloud technologies and mobile apps. It could be for graphic designers, so all our Photoshop, Illustrator, InDesign users, you will see new features, obviously. And also, we are trying to identify the trends of the creative industry. A big one now is UX design, experience design. And you will see also a lot of announcements around experience design, because we are working on this beta application called Adobe XD for 1 year and a half now. Mm-hmm. And we feel that Adobe Max will be a good time, within a few days, a few weeks to really shape the future of what is experience design and how we can, how several designers can collaborate on the same projects. So I'm already sneaking some stuff.
That's great.
This is exciting.
I'm glad you mentioned it, because I think XD is a really good place to start on this.
Yeah.
I know I've been seeing a lot of my students using it specifically, and I think we've talked about a little bit about this, is this whole idea of live prototyping and doing it. What's the advantage of this? Why should designers be looking at XD and these kind of things, even if they're not, let's say, traditionally in experience or UI, UX?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is that if you're a designer today, experience is everywhere. So UX design is really started with, it became super trendy with the mobile apps, because it was a brand new world and you had to anticipate the behaviors of these users using touch screens. But now you can use XD for any kind of experiences with a screen. You know, it can be designing an app for a smart TV, for the dashboard of a car.
Yeah.
Every time there is a screen, then it makes sense. And And you will see more and more what I call the user journeys, you know, where you start a shopping experience on the Apple Watch, and then you enter the shop, maybe it will continue on the TV, and you go back home and it's on your desktop computer. So with XD, you can, you know, really prototype everything. So you design, you prototype, which is basically connecting the screens.
Yeah.
You know, if I touch this, then I want to transition to this one. And you can share to get feedback. Super useful for all designers. And this XD is the first app of Creative Cloud, which is part of this new generation of applications that we design with the community. So this is something we started less than 2 years ago. We started almost from a blank page. Like the first beta of XD, there was almost nothing. Like, and the committee was like,
what do WTF? I do?
WTF, they'd be like, why are you doing? You know, where are my layers? You know, like there was almost nothing. And we said, you know what? There is this website. It's called User Voice. You tell us if you identify bugs. You know, of course, we will fix them. But also, if you need features, then it will become a debate, like a conversation between the XD team at Adobe and you.
Wow.
And you can vote for features. And then the product managers will directly reply to the community. And we had, for instance, layers. Okay, so we released Adobe XD, and there was no layer. So everyone was freaking out, like, where are my layers? And we said, okay, take your time. Like, actually, try to make a prototype without layers. And actually, you can, you know. You move it behind. You move an element to the top. I mean, you can design a prototype. And then they were like, no, we really need layers. So, okay. And we didn't want to add layers because we know that, it can be very confusing. Like, if you design, 300 screens, you will end with 3,000 layers. And this is not something you want. So the team came up talking with the community to this very interesting concept of conceptual layers. So we only display the layers on what you are working on, what is around your mouse in a way. You know, so if you select a screen, we just display the layers of the screen. If you deep dive in a list, we'll just display the layers of the list. Okay, so exchanges with the community has been so great. So we are really designing a tool for all designers. I really invite you just to try, you know, try to prototype something. It takes a few minutes.
Yeah.
And the priority for us was performance. So every time we add a new feature, we are like, okay, does it impact the performance? And you will see Adobe XD is crazy fast. You can zoom in, zoom out. You can have 3,000 screens. There is no impact on the performance.
Wow.
And this is what you wanted to achieve.
That's amazing.
So yeah, I really love this tool.
That's cool. I know when you showed it, when I saw it last year, I felt like such an idiot that I had never even explored it. And it's part of something I already have, you know? And so it was neat to see how your preview, you make some changes, you change a blue and it changes and the blue live changes in every single board you have. So it's so linked. And I almost thought, like, I can imagine this whole style of working coming to Illustrator and Photoshop one day. It's almost like you've learned a whole new way of doing something on a very experimental project, you know?
That's the advantage also of starting from scratch.
Yeah, I bet.
You know, like when you have a product like Photoshop that has more than 25 years, Illustrator this year, we celebrated the 30th anniversary. So like, apps that are used all the every day by millions of users, but still like to starting from a blank page, you can really say, okay, if we have to design a design app in 2017, what should we do? So it doesn't mean that we have to reproduce what we did in Photoshop because it was 25 years ago, Illustrator.
Yeah.
So what should we do today to make it work with the best performance on Mac, Windows? There is also this amazing feature, which is live device preview. Mm-hmm. So if you have an iPad or an iPhone, you just connect it with USB. And as you design, you see your design live, you know, and you change the color. You see it live in real time changing or the typeface if you are building a high fidelity prototype. It's a brand new workflow and it's so fast that you can finally just focus on the experience.
That's
which
great.
Is the most important. You don't want to waste time because of the tool, you know.
Yeah.
You want to dedicate your time to the users and to the experience.
Right. I think it's worth saying too that anything we're talking about here is literally a click away
to download to anyone. And then beyond that, the tutorials that are there help you, even if you have no idea what these programs are, you got to try them because that's very cool. Awesome.
Oh my God. Yeah. I remember when I started as an interactive designer, it was in the 90s. I think the word tutorial didn't exist. So I mean, like, you had to get a book. Eventually, you would find a forum.
Maybe a PDF.
A lost PDF somewhere on an FTP server. It was so hard. And today, I see my son, he's 12. Last time I was traveling, and he asked me, "Hey, Dad, can I install a Premiere Pro? I need to edit a movie for school." So yeah, okay, yeah, have fun. Yeah, so I give him the access, you know, and I come back, I don't know, like 3 days after, and he edited a movie, but like with the transitions, music, sound effects. I was like, "Whoa,
that's
what
so
happened?"
Cool.
You know, who helped you? Like, was Martin Scorsese in the room? Like, what happened?
Yeah. And I was like hooking two VCRs to each other to like tape from one to the other.
We called that dubbing back in the day. Yeah, exactly.
Video toaster time.
Oh, isn't that just interesting how experiences are shifting so much in a short amount of time?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah. Lightning. Yeah.
It's nuts.
Like lightning speed with that. And kids are almost like soaking it up.
Yeah, it's their. They're not even needing to learn. Yeah, they're just
on
hands on and getting it.
That's cool.
They go on YouTube.
That's cool.
Yeah, you want to learn something? Go on YouTube. All the Creative Cloud apps, you have like thousands and thousands of free tutorials recorded by the community or Adobe, and they're awesome. Like it's really a quality content.
That's awesome.
It's a great time to learn and to jump in the design industry. Yeah.
Cool. No, absolutely. Hmm. Oh, so you know, bringing it into the 3D space. So there's so many 2D designers who want to make that transition into 3D design. And Adobe just released Project Felix, I heard. So can you tell us about Project Felix a little bit?
Yeah. I really like this project because I feel that it has been designed for me because I really suck at 3D.
We're all raising our hand here. Totally agree.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And I've tried the 3DS back in the days, you know, like I'm just not good, you know. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
And Project Felix, so it's for as you said, like a classic 2D designer or Photoshop user, you know, who wants to create like a picture which would be like photorealistic of a 3D object. So why would we do that, you know? Because the technology is just super impressive. We're using one of the best 3D engine of the industry. I think the name is V-Ray. This is the one used by Games of Thrones, you know? Like this is this level of rendering. So at the end, it's super realistic. But it was just talking to agencies. Like if you talk to Adidas today, when you see an ad in the street, you know, with a shoe, it's not a real shoe. It's a 3D shoe.
Never. No one's doing photography anymore.
No, yeah. I mean, for in
it's
some
crazy
cases,
to think
yes,
about.
But
yeah.
No.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Because you want to get the perfect shot, you know, you will mix it with texture, with water,
lighting.
And if you take
it's really pissing photographers off.
I know.
They're not listening. That's hilarious.
But yeah, in the advertisement industry and back in the days, you know, you had maybe 6 months to create a campaign, where today if you talk to the creative agencies, they have 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So you have to make it work. Project Felix, so this is one of the use case. Another one is if you just want to create an amazing picture mixing 3D objects, you know, and make it look good. Because basically you import 3D models from Adobe Stock, which is our catalog of where you can license, you know, pictures, videos, and now 3D models. And you apply a texture, it's just like drag and drop. And you apply a light, add a background image, and you say, please create the light map from the background image.
Yeah.
And it works. And then you manipulate the camera, you scale the object, and you click render, and you get a PSD file. And you're like, okay, it's done. I mean,
that's incredible.
That's awesome.
I really
I have a friend that shoots photography for McDonald's. And they used to apply some really high concentrated solution of soap suds to smoothies to make them bubble up and foam up and really make them look delicious. And now that's all being rendered.
Now it's just a click.
Digitally, of course. Yeah, now it's just a click, a render. And he's going, oh, it would take a number of takes to get it just right. You know, it's just interesting perspective.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, my God.
I got to tell you guys, if you haven't, and Project Felix is completely downloadable now, even though it's beta, right? Is it still on the beta?
Windows, Mac, beta.
It's
free beta.
Okay. It's literally unbelievable. And you can, like you said, drag a 3D shape of a bottle or a milk carton or a coffee cup and whatever. You add your graphics, add your lighting, add your texture, add like, should it be matte finish? Should it be gloss? Should it be metallic? Yeah. Whatever it is. And then you pick your background, your camera angle. It's like unbelievable.
That's ridiculous. And that's just amazing.
It's something we all have access to right now. I used it the first time right after Max last year, and the client just freaked it because they was like, they go, I want to see another angle. I'm like, 5 seconds, boom, there it is. And you're like, otherwise, you're doing those one-off PSD files on your own. And so like he said, this is a great introduction for anybody who has wanted to get in 3D but is a little scared of it. And I totally get what you're saying, man. Like I don't feel like I'm technically or creatively built to understand that.
It's a it's a mindset. Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
a little bit of a cheat, but I'll take it.
It works.
Yeah, exactly.
So, can you drag these? Can you drag these 3D objects like from anywhere, or are these pre-loaded into the program?
So, some are pre-loaded. So, you can really start in, you launch the app, and there is a very cool tutorial directly on the UI. You know, say, okay, click here, then drag and drop this. So, after 30 seconds, you get a picture. It's really nice. And then you access Adobe Stock, which is in the cloud. So if you are connected to internet, you can search for, a 3D model of a car, of a glass, and it will show you some models. Some are free, some you have to license them, and you just drag and drop them, and that's it. Super easy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Project Felix also has been built with the feedback of the community. So it's really also part of this new generation of apps where there is a user voice forum where we get feedback, ask for new features. And there is an, I cannot talk about it, but there is an awesome feature.
Michael was just about to say.
And then he just remembered.
I tried to sneak.
If you want to know.
If you read between the lines.
Okay.
It would be after
Max. If you were drinking heavily right now, we definitely would have heard you come out with something.
I know. Yeah, I have no wine. Where is my red wine?
I love
it.
Weird.
It's wine time.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So you will see at Max, but how can I say that? A very easy way to add textures. Okay.
All right.
That's it. Okay.
Okay.
Is it using Adobe Capture? Oh, no, I'm just kidding. Just the time.
Oh, my God.
We're not going to.
Could be.
Let's not spoil it. I know.
It's an interesting thought.
You also you also mentioned your son using Premiere and getting into some video editing. What's new in that realm? That you could share.
So what I can share is something coming to old video editors that I really like. This is a feature that I do a lot of video editing. So I work in Premiere since for more than 15 years. And I give you the feature. You can open, so it will sound super lame, but it's a game changer for me. You can open multiple projects at the same time. So you can have, in Premiere Pro, two different projects, completely different projects opened, and you can drag and drop the sequence from one project to another one.
And then just toggle back and forth easily between the two.
Yeah, just drag and drop. And huge game changer. You don't have to copy, then close and paste. And the other feature we're working on are collaborative features. So how two or three video editors can work on the same Premiere Pro project.
Wow. That's
Do you ever get the upgrades do you ever get mixed up when you're talking with people or communicating about these features and you get the application products mixed up? I mean, this is all in your brain. You're obviously not referring to anything right now. You've got it all in your head. So do you ever get them mixed up?
Between the apps, no. So I use almost all the apps like every week. So I'm really
it's a part of your job. You have to go in and test, right?
Yeah, and I create stuff also all the time. I really like it.
Okay, sure.
Where I can get mixed up is when I talk about a feature and I don't know if it's public or not.
That's the biggest gamble right there.
Okay.
And then I receive an email the next day.
We're going to get an email from Adobe next week saying, we need to pull that episode down.
Can you just add them?
We shipped him a bottle of wine and everything came.
Good to go.
Got all the secrets.
Good to go.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's just so cool.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys. I'd love to get more into the video editing part of it. And I'm not afraid anymore because, like, I got to admit, everything that I have kind of gotten into specifically with the tutorials, like you said, this community of what Adobe does now makes it kind
of
like less intimidating to learn these
Absolutely.
Things. Right?
There's more that is related.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. People are communicating about frustrations and then tapping in and talking about, here's what I tried. See if that works for you. It's just great community based.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's cool.
Yep.
And also with video, I mean, the big game changer is that basically at any time, like it's like what happened with photography. Now you can shoot a 4K video with your smartphone. You can shoot, you can capture slow motion. Like to create videos, it's super easy. And it wasn't the case like even, like 7 years ago. You needed a professional gear. You needed to know how to handle a camera, how to transfer the video to your computer, you know?
Yeah, and now right.
So seamless.
So easy.
Now.
So,
too much. And now it's just,
So if you want to tell a story with a video now, the only thing you need to learn is how to edit a video. But as you said, there are thousands of tutorials. And Premiere Pro, also, the big advantage of Premiere Pro is that it's real time editing. So when you drag and drop video footage, you know, rush coming from an iPhone or a GoPro or any kind of camera, even a 4K camera, you press play on the timeline and it's real time.
Wow.
You don't have any rendering time, you don't have any lag or delay. You just edit in real time. And we are working actually more and more closely with Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So we just opened an office in Hollywood to work with movie director. For instance, we work very closely with David Fincher. You know, he did...
House of Cards?
Fight Club.
House of Cards. Mm-hmm. He did Social Network. It was one of the first where, you know, the story of Facebook where he was introducing some Adobe Creative Cloud apps in his workflow. There was Gone Girl. Did you watch Gone Girl?
Yep.
Oh, it's so good. edited with Premiere Pro.
Wow. That was one of the first, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the full movie edited in Premiere Pro. So there's and now I would say that's the challenge for us because it could like the we have the full spectrum of video creators from David Fincher to someone who has a YouTube channel.
I was just gonna say.
Yeah.
So, and everybody in between, right?
Yes, and you have to answer all these needs, but that's cool. That's a good issue to solve. So that's,
well, you're probably solving problems for each other by. When you're helping David Fincher out, you're probably helping out the YouTube guy too in some way. So I can only imagine what it all linked together, you know?
Definitely. Yeah.
Crazy.
Like the fact of opening multiple projects, I'm pretty sure it comes from Hollywood. Like,
because they have no time. It's got to be everything at once. That's awesome.
All right. Cool. So, you know, we're all looking for shortcuts as designers and tricks to save time and money with our business and all that. So what about, I hear about Project Sensei. So can you talk a little bit about that and how it might help our listeners in their business?
Yeah. So at Max, we will talk a lot about Project Sensei. But what I can share now is that we have a huge team and it's a huge investment for Adobe and the Creative Cloud team. And Adobe in general, actually, because it's not only for Creative Cloud, it's for all the cloud solutions we have, you know, Experience Cloud, Document Cloud, and we invest in artificial intelligence. So we try to identify how our users are using the tools, what are the tasks and what can be automated. For instance, when you research an image, you know, or in Adobe Stock. Adobe Stock is a catalog of more than 60 million pictures. So before finding the one you want, you know, so there are these crazy technologies where I remember, and I tried it, actually, it works.
That's like a good sign.
you take a picture with your phone of something you like in the street, or, you know, or even a building, like, oh, it's really cool. And there are good chances that a professional photographer took the same picture, you know, but in high definition. And you just drag and drop it in Stock, and he will show you, okay, so first, if someone took this building, but also all the other pictures that have exactly the same spirit, the same mood. And you can add some filters and say, yeah, but I want pictures with depth of field, or I want pictures with highly saturated colors or soft colors. And everything in real time, the algorithm will work and learn more. I mean, it's insane. And we bring all these technologies even to some Photoshop features for face recognition. And the beauty of it is that the more we have users, you know, using these features and these tools, the better it will behave, you know, in the future.
That's amazing.
Because it's learning. It's a learning machine.
And I'm assuming it's pulling in from...
That's incredible.
When you get to use the entire creative community as your test market, this grows and grows and grows and grows. I can only imagine what it'll be like in a few years.
Oh, yeah. And,
unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, and you will see some example at Max. I mean, it's so good that it looks fake. You're like, oh, okay.
You guys showed that that sound editor last year. Was that part of Project Sensei, the thing that was able to...
Yeah.
This was insane, guys. It was the guy from Key & Peele. He was one of the hosts of that day. And he did an audio recording. And you know if you do a lot of audio recording, let's say you get a take that's perfect, but they mispronounced a word, or there's one word in there that didn't maybe missed completely off script. It takes the track and turns it into text. You go in there and edit the text. Let's say he said Wednesday and he was supposed to say Friday. As long as you have like a minute of this guy talking, it will turn that to Friday. And they played this whole audio track among 10,000 people, and they were floored because it took.
They're never gonna have to do looping again.
Yeah, but they said. But the cool thing was they mentioned too that there's going to it. They have to think of security because obviously now we can take anything and change someone's what they recorded as far as their words. And this Adobe was so clever in saying that it's stamped with a thing saying this was altered. And that can never be removed from the audio. So, interesting.
See, this is what this should have been Trump's defense in an Access Hollywood van.
There you go, Project Sensei.
Project Sensei.
Very true.
So this, it's a very good example. So the name of the sneak of this technology was called Project Voco. So it's VOCO.
Yeah.
If you want to find the video on YouTube, but it was insane and. And the engineers, they didn't showcase all the features because
I can only imagine.
I was part of the selection of the sneaks, so I saw more features of this. You could even record the tone of your voice. I remember. So let's say if in the recording the person say, "Oh, this is Wednesday," and you want him to say, "Oh, this is Wednesday," so you just record your voice saying, "Oh, this is Wednesday." You change the melody of the voice. And it's real.
It takes the inflection. Wow.
I know, it's crazy. Awesome. But as you said, there are some security concerns. So we're working on it. It's an amazing technology.
Here we go.
Okay.
It's just the four of us, Michael. It's just us.
Yeah, don't.
Okay.
We don't have any listeners.
So do you know what happens if you try to scan a US dollar bill, in Photoshop?
It won't work. It scrambles, right?
It won't work. So there are like security recognition algorithms everywhere in the apps. So that's why I wasn't surprised, when we unveiled this technology. Like the next day, I guess we received a call from the White House. I don't know. But so
that's crazy.
But that's also fascinating because at some point you can solve so many, like even for your podcast, let's say you want to change one word, then you could, without asking me, and I give you the approval. I say, oh yeah, sorry, I mispronounced something, and you can just change the word.
On the fly, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Gosh.
But then in other cases, yeah, it can be used, you know, with someone with mean behaviors and yeah, so yeah, but that's also what is fascinating with technologies is that you push the boundaries, you open doors to yeah, just new stuff. So you just need to be very careful.
I think more importantly, it sounds like there's things that are more, that's just one example, but this works in so many other ways where it will save us some time. It will be a quick trick to kind of, especially if you have multiple files that you got to go through and do the same kind of stuff, it will kind of understand what you're doing and kind of help you along the way, which is great. That's awesome. What other, before we get into Max, anything else Creative Cloud-wise? I know the mobile apps are fantastic too. What else is worth talking about and kind of bringing up to our listeners?
I think that we're also trying to leverage more and more the cloud services so designers can collaborate, you know, with concepts such as the shared creative cloud libraries is a good one.
Yeah.
Where you can, let's say you are a team of five designers and you share a creative cloud library where you can store assets such as a logo, but also textiles, global colors.
Yeah.
So if someone in the team decides to change an icon, then it will automatically be populated in all the Photoshop files that are using this icon, for instance.
That's crazy.
Among all the team. So for me, it's really the next step. Like how can we leverage the cloud and be all connected to design together? When today, because of the technical limitations we had, the creative process is very, you know, centered on yourself. Like usually you are just alone creating something and designing, and then you share it with your peers, you get some feedback and you get back alone. When I think that we can really redefine what is design, what is creating, just adding this layer of live collaboration.
Wow. Yeah, that sums it up. I think specifically with us being so much more remote based now, and the way, even if we're individual people or part of a big team, what a great way to kind of, like you said, share design in real time, and rather than like work and then share, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I love it.
Streamlined.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So let's transition then into Adobe Max a little bit, because
party time.
The three of us are very excited to go. That's for sure. So why don't you tell us about it in a nutshell? I know Nick has been before. I've never been.
It's a little bit of a loaded question. But,
yeah. So like, what can attendees expect from the experience?
What's your sales pitch?
I know. I've attended Max so many times, and I'm always inspired and surprised by Max. Like it's a huge creativity conference. When I say huge, it's in terms of content first.
Yeah.
You have these massive shows such as the keynotes and the sneaks on this huge stage. I mean, just a beautiful show, just about creativity, design, with amazing speakers and guests. And if you love, Creative Cloud, but not only Creative Cloud, if you love creativity in general, you will be inspired. And then you are with a crowd of more than 10,000 creative people around you, and you just make amazing connections.
Yeah.
You just meet amazing people. And for me, that's really the best experience is just networking, you know, because you are just among people who are passionate, you know, like as yourself about design, creativity, and you just experience the same thing. You're amazed by the same announcement. You're amazed by the technology, by all these amazing artists on stage. So it's something that you share, which is like super strong, you know, and after you're so motivated, you say, okay, it's a huge boost. And also it's an opportunity to learn and to meet the teams, the Adobe teams, because on top of the keynotes and these big shows on stage, you have hundreds of tracks, sessions that you can attend if you want to discover After Effects, for instance.
Yeah.
You can attend an After Effects workshop, you know, with computers, and then you will learn how to start with After Effects. Or if you want something more advanced, you will get someone from Hollywood explaining how they use a green screen on Star Wars, you know. So there is this entire range of people, technologies, creative fields, and it's so condensed. You know, it's just 3 days, This year it's in Las Vegas, so super condensed.
Trouble.
Right, I know.
San Diego was such a safe town, and now I'm like, oh my God, Vegas, this is crazy. But you know, can you share who's hosting the Sneaks this year?
Yeah, okay, you will have to help me.
Oh.
He's an actor from
Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley.
Oh,
I think
right.
He's from Pakistan.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
What's his name?
He's the reason I watched that show.
Oh, yeah. God, he's so great. Yeah, I'll find him.
Camille, come here.
I will find you to research.
He's hilarious. Sure. He's absolutely hilarious.
And that's what's great.
And he's very well-spoken.
Definitely.
Very well-spoken.
Yeah. And a perfect person for this, considering the tech-savvy version of it. But, you know, going back to what Michael said.
Yeah, I love it.
The neatest thing was to see, like, it was an eye-opening experience to understand, like, I am not using my Adobe subscription thing to its full advantage in any way.
He can't help it. He's looking up his name. He can't.
Yeah, I know. We got to find it. Let's see. There we go. TV series.
Okay. His name is Kumail
Nanjiani. Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. That's him.
That's the guy.
Yeah, he's
well,
awesome.
That's cool.
So, he's just.
I didn't realize there was going to be celebrities. That's great.
Yeah.
And there was also the music producer. I want to say Mark Johnson, but I don't want to say. You know, he did Upside Down. What's his name? Okay.
Oh.
Let me find out. Because I received
Mark
a list
Ronson?
Today. So.
Is it?
Yeah, Mark Ronson.
From
Uptown Funk. Look at me.
Yeah,
Uptown Funk.
Come on. Stage. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you're kidding. That's incredible. Yeah. That's awesome. Maybe I've just missed it, but I'm not seeing that promoted when you go to the Adobe Max site.
Yeah, it was live today, so that's why.
Oh, okay.
That's perfect.
So we broke the news here, so you're right here first.
You're the first.
Yeah,
I love that. That's great. So, yeah, and I think that's the coolest part, too, was that these people came from there. The neatest thing from last year was in the big keynote, you had, what was the guy's name, Zach Posen, the fashion designer guy?
The fashion designer,
The last person was Quentin Tarantino, who comes out and talks about how, and then in between was this photojournalist and this woman,
awesome.
And this woman that does these insane artistic installations and hers was so incredible. Quentin Tarantino comes out and goes, I have to follow her. Like it was unbelievable because she was this person that I had never even heard of, and 10,000 people's like their jaws were on the floor seeing her creative process and what she turned out of a trip that she took when she was like 50 and turned it into this insane artistic talent. It was just the coolest thing to see. And and just to be amongst all these people, I think we all like we keep pushing this idea, like get out there and go to these events to get a little more inspired, because you do come back with a sense of like, damn, I'm going to tackle everything I have with this like new sense. So I'm so glad we're all going and to be there as well. And for you to come and just share these things, it's like, It's so important for us to kind of know. And like we said, we're going to share as much as we can with our listeners after the event too.
Oh,
you know,
that's so good. And also there is something fun. It's called, so you have all these sessions, you know, everywhere. And there is this space called the Community Pavilion, which it looks like more a trade show, but a creative one where you have you have the sponsors, but also all the Adobe teams building these very fun experiences. You have giveaways, but you can do like last year they had a crazy booth with a VR.
Mm-hmm.
It was also the first time Microsoft showcased Surface Studio.
Yeah,
you know, it's an amazing device. So there are so many activities. Like it's 3 days, but like three full days.
Yeah,
like,
and that's where that's exactly where we'll be. We're gonna have a space in the pavilion there.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah,
me too.
Oh, perfect. There we go. I think we're right next to you. We're right next to you. Believe it or not.
Oh, that would be awesome.
All right.
Be neighbors.
Yeah. First round of drinks on us.
Yeah.
Or a donut.
Yeah, and we're gonna be doing a few live shows there for sure. The content of which is to be determined, but it'll be great to be able to interact with all you listeners in person. Whoever wants to come and say hi. We'd love to meet you there. So
yeah, for sure.
That would be awesome.
Oh yeah, I will come and say hi. That's for sure. Yeah, I will be live streaming also. Yeah, so we will do a video live stream from the community pavilion. So we will invite guests and artists. They will create live. Actually, they will create live in Photoshop, Illustrator, answer all the questions from the community. They will work in XD, like all the apps actually of Creative Cloud. They will be all featured in this show. It would be great. Yeah, it would be cool to see you.
That's great. That would be awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah. And like you mentioned too, you guys share all this stuff afterwards. So like, if you can't make it to the show a week or two after, all these seminars and everything are online for you to kind of absorb and see and learn from as well. So, like
everything.
Very cool.
So the keynotes, actually, the two keynotes, there are two keynotes. So on day one, on Wednesday, October 18, in the morning in Las Vegas, so it's maybe 9 a.m. Pacific time. Is Las Vegas Pacific time?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, that's good news.
I know that very well.
So it will be the first keynote, 2 hours. This is where we make all the announcements, okay? What's new, what's coming. On the next day, on Thursday, there was a keynote in the morning with 4 guests, including Mark Ronson. So this is where we have all these big names from different creative fields, just sharing their creative process, their creative life, creative journey.
Nice.
It's quite fascinating. And these two keynotes are live streamed.
So it
will be live, yeah. And then, as you said, all the sessions are recorded. Usually we record the screen and the voice, you know, like the slides and the voice. So we have this huge catalog of sessions just delivered during all the previous editions of Adobe Max. But for the new one, as you said, maybe 2 weeks after, everything will be available online.
That's fantastic.
For everyone all around the world. So,
and let's not forget about the bash. I can only imagine what you guys are going to do in Vegas for the big party.
Oh, yeah, and I have no idea. No one.
I was going to try to get some out of you, but I guess if you don't know, let's just be surprised.
I have no idea. and maybe in the coming days, usually we announce who will be playing, you know, because we have last time we had Alabama show.
Yeah, they were oh my God. It's like a full-on concert outdoor experience. Oh. It was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So we definitely. Oh, Siri is talking to me now. Siri.
Who's playing at Adobe Max this year?
Yeah, Siri.
Maybe she knows. Excited for it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, thanks, Michael. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. Thanks so much for
taking
the time.
Such a pleasure. Thank you for making the time. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. See you soon.
All right. So before we get to the listener question, an audio one this time, we want to give some love to our good friends over at FreshBooks. They make it ridiculously easy to invoice your clients and to get paid faster. So the all-new FreshBooks rebuilt from the ground up. They've been completely redesigned, custom-built for the way we work as designers and freelancers and small business owners. They showed it to me, and it's super designer-friendly. It's a really intuitive interface. And the best part is you can create and send really professional-looking invoices in under 30 seconds. I've timed it. Math works out. It checks out. And they would know math. They're the accounting guys, right? So
I'll trust them literally over me any day. Yeah,
exactly. So with literally 2 clicks, you can set yourself up with FreshBooks online payments and end up with money in your pocket sooner. The stat that we believe them, over 60% of their invoices are paid within 1 day. That's
awesome.
Huge.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then if they don't pay, you can set that little automatic reminder up, make sure they get the nudge they need to get you paid. Yep. So they've got a new projects feature. So basically you can share files and messages with your clients, contractors, and employees. So it all takes place in one spot, which is great for PMing and getting paid and all that stuff.
I only just downloaded their app to my phone today.
Oh my gosh.
That's
like the beauty of that thing. It's like you could be mobile and do almost everything.
I know.
Yeah, I've not done the mobile
about
part.
It before, Nick, and I'm like that nerdy paranoid gal that just, you know, once you get something works and you've been doing it for so long, you just stick with the process that you know. And so, but I thought, you know what?
To me, it's if anything comes in the mail and I'm out and about, whatever, to me, it's like the perfect thing to be able to just go on the phone, get on FreshBooks and kind of like update a payment or anything, you name it. It's just so great to have online. It's not the best, you don't want to use it 100%, but man, it's there when you really need it. And it's so intuitive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I need to get on board with that one.
Yeah.
So we've worked out a free 30-day unrestricted free trial for our listeners only. So go to freshbooks.com/deeplygraphic and enter deeply graphic design in the how did you hear about us section. So again,
nice.
Free 30 days, freshbooks.com/deeplygraphic and then enter Deeply Graphic Design in the How Did You Hear About Us section. All right, so today's question comes to us from Lena Gray, and it's an audio one.
Yay!
So let's roll that clip.
Hi guys, love the show. I have a question about social media. I would love to incorporate social media kits into my projects. Obviously, this would be a great place for reoccurring revenue packages, but in some situations, it may just be handing off things for the client to use in the future if I'm not around. And so I was wondering what you guys thought about using something like Canva, where you set up a variety of ads and all they have to do is change the name and their logo and photographs to already be in there. Didn't know what you guys thought about that, or if you have any other suggestions to sort of hand off a media kit for a client. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Lena. This is such a great question. We love getting really specific ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's awesome.
Sink our teeth into it. And
totally.
It's something, honestly, it catches me a little off guard because I've never really heard of offering a media kit like this to a client. I'm sure it's done. Nothing we've done at the Deep End. But since I heard the question the first time, I've thought of a lot of interesting ways
right.
to do it. So
yeah, ways to apply it. Sure.
It makes sense too. It's so new to what we can do. And she, I love the way she put this together. I didn't realize it's something kind of we've already been, figuring out. And I love that. So go for it. What did you find, Wes?
Yeah. So basically, this is a great way of recurring revenue, right?
Mm-hmm.
The way she phrases it though, like a kit that you just hand off, then it kind of almost does not become a recurring revenue piece at that point because it's just something it's a one-off, you hand it off and then it's their show to run.
Yeah. Right.
So what I would actually suggest is like rather than just handing off the kit, you build it in as a monthly service that you provide.
Yeah.
So you would run the Facebook ads or you would run the tweets or whatever it is. In my mind, I'm picturing this being Facebook ads. Just because that's something that you can pin down, put a monetary value on.
Well, and it's applicable to you. You're so experienced in that arena. That makes sense that you would apply it there in your mind, Wes. I apply it straight away to blog material.
See, and I do.
Ongoing.
And I related
that's,
it
that's
to
an easy one.
Instagramming and Twitter.
Sure.
And unique, you know, just
and they're all of different specs, right?
Social post. But
so it just needs to
be. And I love her idea of using, I know Canva has become a really cool tool for that. I think there's a way to incorporate it into what we do specifically that can work. One of the things we've done is for one of our latest clients, their grand opening is first week of October, and we are in line with about the next 6 months of social media posts almost already done. So they've got things to pull from.
It's all lined up.
Yeah. Of course, it's not reoccurring like you were saying, Wes, but the one thing we did do is we said, let's look at it seasonal. Because of the way, like with Halloween and fall, whatever, we're like, we'll do a ton of stuff up until like Thanksgiving. Then we'll do a package for holiday.
So they're just calendared to seek where the upload begins from where they left off from the previous publishing.
And so we've done it two ways. We've done preset stuff. So it's like a post is ready to go. They have the art that says, come join us
for
our holiday celebration
for
this. But then I've given them frames that they can use that are branded. And these frames are PNGs with like transparent windows. And there's someone on their team who is skilled enough to just place a photo behind it of an event or something that's live and they'll put it out that next day. So
I see.
I love. So yeah, there's a bunch of ways you can look at this. You could do it as the kit. You can do it reoccurring or you could do it kind of seasonally or how you want to, you know, how else. I think it's best to just be customized to your particular client.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a cool idea to
think
about.
Ideally for me, you keep it fresh and we control, our calendar set and it's a deliverable every 2 weeks and we control everything.
Like
that's ideal to me, but.
Yeah. You'll never control like every client will post something and you'll see it and just go, oh damn, I wish I could have just given them something for that post to make it. So all we did was we did this really cool themed frame that has the logo of the brand in there, whatever. And I've given them some fonts too. Those are things, to be honest with you, I don't want to have to do. So that's why I thought
that's more for ePro to get on.
If you could
I get it.
And there's someone on their team that's good
but
enough.
So I subcontract out.
Good.
And
there
So that way MKM's still taking care of it.
Good. There you go.
And then I just overview real quick and I say, you're good. Publish. Go.
That's great. Awesome. That's great. I think it
But there's a number of ways to do to work it. But yeah, I'm telling you, I just ran into this with an account where I sent them a template for LinkedIn, sent them a template for Zoom, sent them a template for Twitter.
Right.
Yes. And then they forgot to check in with me about blogs. So they're utilizing the Twitter specs and they're just posting the images from the Twitter, which...
That's probably the closest one because it's probably more like a horizontal rectangle in a way.
It is. You're right. And I think that's probably what they thought, but they're not doubling the size to make it optimal display graphics.
Oh, good. Okay. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, another, this is a great point for us to kind of start thinking about what are the things we can add to the proposals at the beginning, because if we're forward thinking and they, you know, chances are you're starting with a brand at the very beginning, they're not even thinking social media just now at that point. Mm-mm. So you're forecasting something really cool to say, we could do it for you. And then you do it to the degree you want. Cause
If you can project this number of posts amongst this many of channels per month, here's the rate.
Yeah, there you go. That's cool.
And if you're not going to be the one doing the work and you are just going to kind of hand it off as a package to them, what I might recommend is focusing a little less on the tools and the comps and everything, and focus more on the types of posts they should be posting.
The campaign.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like give some material encouragement itself. You got to talk to so we've got people at the top of the funnel that don't know, even know there's a problem.
Yes.
Well, first of all, the ones that don't even know they have a problem.
Yeah.
You got to speak to them in this way. Yeah. Then you got to speak to the ones who are problem aware, but not solution aware. You speak to them in a different way. So I would come up with a few different types of posts that are meant to speak to these different people within different parts of the funnel. That's kind of going to be the most bang for your buck, really doing something for your client, if that makes sense.
I think that's totally true.
Yeah. But then after that, you can supply them with images. Even if it's not all the images, maybe do a style guide of these are the kinds of images that you should be doing.
Here's and the then, flavor you ought to seek.
Right. Yep. And Facebook now... again, I'm just going back to Facebook. This applies to other things, but I think it's cool that when you're doing Facebook ads now, you can use all the stock images from Shutterstock in Facebook ads, for free.
Okay, there you go.
So you can, I don't always recommend just using a stock image without doing anything to it.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of good ones that your clients could choose from. To use. So it's interesting that way.
Yeah. Not bad.
Yeah. But I hope, hopefully this was helpful to you, Lena. Thanks for the listener question. And I especially like this one that it was kind of a follow-up question based on the recurring revenue episode.
Me too. So it was great.
We want to encourage that. So if something doesn't make sense that we talk about, or you have a follow-up question about it, that's a great listener question. So send those in to questions@thedeependdesign.com. And of course, we love the audio ones. So just record an MP3 and email that over. Or if it's a shorty, just do on Twitter using a hashtag DGDC. All right. With that in mind, keep designing. Catch us next time on the Deeply Graphic Design Cast.